Hi, I'm Thomas Cook. Welcome to Making It and what that means to me.
Back with Thomas Cook, Making It. Thomas, first six episodes have been spectacular. We've covered a lot of really interesting life moments for you. But I think what's really cool is they're so universally applicable to anyone listening that wants to do big things or just wants to do something a little bit bigger than they're doing now. And you always inspire. So you took us through the Indiana chapter, and then the next spot on the map you wanted to hit was Florida. Why and what happened there?
What did I do to you about Indiana? Because you're a Sigma Chi. I never asked you that question. How did my life in Indiana impact you, if I could ask?
The story you just shared in episode six?
Yeah.
I think that I related to it a lot because I also am from the Midwest, and there was a moment where I felt like it was time to go. And I feel like so many people, whether you're from the Midwest or you're in a relationship or you are in a job, I think so many people feel stuck. And I think that they don't take the time to see if their phone rings. For me, that story you told about if my phone doesn't ring tonight, and that was speaking literally but also metaphorically, right? That I think that we don't take enough time to see if our phone's ringing, who's calling us, and if that's the kind of conversation we want to have. And metaphorically speaking, I think that that's something that everyone that listens to this and reads this can apply to their own lives.
I really love what you just said. I think that young people, if they would stop for a few moments and allow themselves to think anything's possible. But to this day, I have friends I went to school with that still have never left the town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Not everybody has to move away and not everybody has to leave home, but you can still stay where you're at, but become a leader in your community. Do something to make a difference. Open a shelter. Do something that enhances your life. For you, it's not about impressing people and doing stuff. Like I always said to you, I was so nervous about wanting to do a book or do a podcast because I didn't want to talk about my life as I was bragging. I wanted to share how lucky I've been to experience so many amazing things that have inspired me to just keep on wanting to make a difference and to change. There's a really fine line between bragging and sharing. And I never wanted to ever cross that line, ever. Every time we would take a break in between these interviews, I would say to you, God, I am really trying to be 100% honest because I don't ever want to look back at this and say, what didn't I say? When that phone didn't ring, I honestly knew it was time. But I also knew that if I was going to move on, I actually had to move on with me too, which means I didn't want to go to Florida State and become part of Sigma Chi again. I didn't want to be in government relations. I didn't want to, the list goes on. I didn't want to repeat myself of what I was, and I didn't want to fake an accent. Okay, people, stop laughing. But I know I didn't want to go back and be the same thing. So if I was going to move on to Florida State, how was it going to be different? So I chose, when New Year's Eve comes and we all say Happy New Year, and we always say, what is our New Year's resolution? I think we should do that all the time. Not just one time a year. Then we look in the mirror and we have to say to ourselves, am I being honest with myself? Am I really doing what I want to do? How do I challenge myself? When I went to Florida State, because of my car accident, dying and coming back to life, that accident, I'm not regressing, but you know, the person that hit me was a police officer and he was speeding on a road that he shouldn't have been speeding. But of course, back then, I was 17, and the policeman said that I did not stop at the stop sign, which I did. And evidence in court with a jury proved me not guilty. But those people, of course, tried to blame me for the accident. And God bless my dad, he never gave up on me. And all the proof and the evidence and the car and the way it was hit and the accident and the scenes and the photos. So we tried to get one of the most famous lawyers in Massachusetts, which I can't mention the name. And actually, we got one of the most prominent attorneys who was older, took on the case because I was actually 100% innocent. It went on for years. It was horrible because I had to constantly remind myself of what happened and remember the scar. I have a scar that goes from my belly button to my middle chest all the way under my right arm. And they tore my body apart to remove half my liver, my gallbladder, my lungs were collapsed, and all my ribs were broken. And I lost my eyesight. This police department said it was my fault. Of course I was angry. Of course my family fought for my innocence. The lawyer calls up some years later and says, I'm so sorry. I messed up. I allowed the statute of limitations to run out. So what I learned from that was I got a little bit of money because of malpractice. So my dad said, son, don't spend it all at once. He says, invest it in real estate. And I'm like, real estate? Ugh. Who wants to clean toilets? Who wants to paint? Who wants to do maintenance? I said, oh, no, Dad. And I got approached by some friends to invest in a nightclub. People, if you're listening, don't ever invest in a nightclub. If you want to lose all your money, invest in a nightclub. Or if you're trying to hide money, invest in a nightclub. I should have listened to my father. God bless you, Dad, in heaven, you're right. I should have invested in real estate, and I didn't. So I went to Florida State, and what happened is I completely did the opposite. I got involved in government. I got involved in the town, because Tallahassee is the capital of Florida. So I got involved in politics. I was an investor in the largest nightclub. I did a lot of charity events at the club for every charity you can believe of, including the coach, Bobby Brown, I think was his name, of Florida State, and his wife, and did fundraisers. So that was a whole other journey of being business. And of course, I was a little over the top. I had a Mercedes Gazelle copy. I drove around in a full-length fur coat. I would be just the most ridiculous person in the world. And I just was doing everything I wanted to do, and it had nothing to do with being a fraternity or being an RA or being the attorney general. I just got lost. I didn't want really to be part of anything. I just wanted to have fun. I did learn that it's amazing how many friends you have when you own a nightclub. And then as soon as you don't, how everybody disappears. The greatest lesson for me for Florida State was I learned that I did lose a lot of money then, most of my money. And I learned that if God, or if I was ever smart enough again to have a lot of money, I would never be stupid again to do the cars, the furs, the diamonds, the watches, the stuff, because I realized that didn't bring happiness and you can't buy friends. So I decided, all right, I learned my lesson on this one. This is part of the story which I've never told anybody. I was a junior going into my senior year. I met this woman who offered me a job at a rehabilitation center in Palm Beach. And I said, yeah, but I haven't graduated. She goes, Thomas, you're brilliant. She goes, I'll pay you right now. And she gave me a huge salary, a number. And she goes, what is college? She goes, if you've already got the gift. I was very inspired by the offer, and I thought, wow. So I never finished. I left a year before graduating, and I have no regrets that I didn't finish. And if I was to finish, get my degree, not that I love Florida State, love you guys, if you're listening, but my heart would be to give money to Indiana and go back and get my honorary doctorates from Indiana State, because that's where my life was changed. That's where college meant the world to me. Not that I don't love Tallahassee and I don't love Florida State, I love them, but that wasn't the part of my life that I would say was my college life. I took the job offer. Swear to God, I thought Palm Beach, that's where I said the story on my last episodes in the beginning was, go to Palm Beach, Dad, I'm gonna sit on some charity boards. I had a little money left to donate and get involved, and that's why I went to Palm Beach to sit on these boards. I met Mrs. Gillette of Gillette Razors. Well, that's a whole story you won't even believe. So I went to Palm Beach, I took the damn job with the Palm Beach Habilitation Center. Tina, if you're listening, I love you, honey. Because this center, what they did was they took people with Down syndrome and handicap and wheelchair, and they taught them a trade, and they were able to give them a place to live and to be able to work in the workplace. And I was so blessed with that, and I loved it. And I was the director of development. And what that means, people, is I was trying to figure it out myself. It means, how do I make money? How do I get sponsors? How do we get people to donate money to the center? Well, they had 3 thrift stores. And in Palm Beach, just so you know, everybody's rich. When they give all their clothes away and their shoes and everything else, all these rich people, they just donate it to the charity. And you can get Izod, Lilly Pulitzer, you can get desks, chairs, antiques, crystal, the list goes. So they would get all this stuff donated. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I refurbished all of their thrift stores to make them into high-end exotic places to buy from the rich and the famous. And I made it cool and hip that it was okay to buy used things. Because isn't life used? Isn't everything we have used? Isn't everything full circle? And when we die, what happens? It gets in a yard sale, a thrift store. Somebody will get our collection of salt and pepper shakers. It just keeps on going around. So it was really clear to me that would be a fun journey. That was Palm Beach. Oh, there was so much more in Palm Beach to talk about. Oh boy. The Breakers, the balls, the singing. That's where I met everybody. Barton Avenue. The way I got my first place to live, as I said, where is the biggest mansion in Palm Beach? And I went up to the door and knocked on the door and I said, I'm here to rent the guest house. And the maid goes, the guest house isn't for rent. I said, oh, but my friend said to ask, because it could be. Guess what? The wife of the house should come back, meet my son, meet my husband, because we've never rented it ever, because we had 2 Ferraris, a Rolls Royce, and something else in the garage, and then 3 bedrooms above. I knocked on the door that night, came in, met them, met the son. It was very sweet and very nice. They let me rent it. If you don't knock on the door, you're never going to know if you're going to get that apartment. There's a lot more in Palm Beach. I promise to tell you more of that because we've got Prince Charles, we have the president, we have lots of, you know, Mar-a-Lago back then was Mar-a-Lago before that. There's so many things about Palm Beach that's really great stories, but I got to stop now. I can't wait to tell you more later. Take care. Bye.
Reclaim your power.
Reclaim your
everything
power.
You dream in life.
If you enjoyed that song and would like to support Thomas Cook's music and ongoing podcast, please visit iTunes where you can purchase Thomas's album, The Gift of Words and Music. For more information and to book Thomas as a speaker at your next event, please visit thomascookdc.com.